Welcome back to The Neighborhood. I'm Tony Mansman, and yes, this is The Neighborhood. This is the show that we talk about local musicians, artists, painters, writers, everything in between, and I'm glad to have a good friend on my first show here today. He is loved by many across the nation. He is a musician, a fantastic producer. With me today is Mr. Chris Bell. Chris Bell, how are you?
Wow, that was quite the intro.
Well, you deserve it.
Sure if I'm loved across the nation, maybe just in like two states, but...
I'm sure if people put a commercial out and your face was in the commercial, everyone
You'd
would.
You'd have people popping up all over the
they
place.
They would definitely
Absolutely.
Love you. Definitely. Well, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to The Neighborhood.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How are you liking it so far?
The Neighborhood?
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
I love that you're doing a show about the local creative arts. I think that's really awesome.
I think it's something that's kind of missing a lot in not just radio, but TV and other entertainment. We don't really get to see a lot of local things.
Right, and I mean, that's the great thing about radio is that it is a local medium. Like, only people within the local area are going to be hearing the show, and so it's about things that are in their area, which is really cool.
It is really cool. Well, I'm glad you're here. I do have some questions. This is an interview.
This is an interview. Okay.
So I'll start off really easy, and we'll just keep on building. we had a show together.
We did. We used to have a show.
For those who don't know, me and Chris Bell had a show called Burnt Toast.
It was the greatest.
It was the greatest show that was ever made.
Second
to The Neighborhood, of course, yeah. But it was a fantastic show where it was kind of a variety show, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We did a lot of random things.
A lot.
Now that I remember it, what did we even talk about? We just went in. I think it was just a normal conversation between
you. A lot
of
it was honestly impromptu.
It was. It really was. A lot of it was just talking with you and Krista, just about everything. It was just a normal conversation that we typically have.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember some of the things. I don't know why I'm mentioning this, but the first kiss story, of course.
Oh, my gosh, Tony.
And I'm not going to bring that up because that's
so
a
fantastic.
That's a whole other story.
It's
the
greatest story ever.
maybe I'll play it.
You can play that clip, yeah.
One of these times, one of these episodes in the near future, but not now because... No one wants to hear that on the first episode.
That's true, actually.
Yes.
I can submit that.
But yes, yeah. We had a great show that lasted for about a year. Tried to pick it up this year. Just kind of fell apart because you weren't a part of it. Krista was gone. Krista was in L.A. And you graduated. You became a man.
I did. I became a real man.
You're a real man
now. No longer a college man.
You're a real...
Now I'm a real man.
You're the man now, dog.
Stop saying that.
Okay. Well, let's get started. Chris is known for many things.
Oh, dear.
Like my friend. But one of the biggest things he's accomplished over this past year is the Pursuit Project, which we'll mention. He's a producer, musician. But Chris, let's get started on some simple questions. Can you tell me where you're from and... what life was like for you in your early, younger days?
Absolutely. That's easy. I have the answer to that one. That's good.
Okay.
Well, I grew up in Arizona.
Okay.
A young boy, heart full of dreams. I'm a... No, but really, I mean...
I picture you, like, leaving for college with a suitcase down this dirt road and just, like, goodbye.
Goodbye, Mom. Yeah.
Going to a much colder place.
You know, I grew up in the Valley of the Sun, and it kind of describes my personality a little bit, where I'm from, because I'm an extrovert, I'm really, really outgoing, and I love, like, making people laugh, and everything in Arizona is all about having a good time, and that's kind of what I'm about, is helping people to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I moved up here during college, it was really quite a transition for me because everyone up here in Minnesota is way different than my
friends.
Can
you kind of describe what's so different, like the people?
Yeah, it's like, this is a horrible way to put it, but it's like everyone's hearts up here have been frozen cold by the so many winters that they've
yes.
gone through. No, but... I mean, there's, like, the whole Minnesota nice thing going on, too. I don't know. It just all seems a little bit mixed up.
Okay. So there's a lot of...
A lot of things just
mixed
don't make
personalities.
Sense.
There's a lot of So you'll be talking to a guy, he'll be very angry, and then he'll open the door for you.
Right. And then hand you a donut.
Okay. All right. Can you kind of describe Arizona a little bit more? Like, for a lot of us, I think a lot of us Minnesotans, we don't really know what life is like down south. And
well, honestly, I don't think that my experience is really a terribly good one to give you what it's really like, because I am a relatively unique person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in high school, while I was growing up in Arizona, in high school, I was a total band geek.
Okay.
So I was in 5 bands in high school.
Oh, so this
5
is high school bands?
3 of them were.
And the other 2 were just your own thing?
Well, one of them was my youth group band.
Okay.
And then I also played in my church worship band.
Wow.
So I was kind of like in charge of the youth group one. I would play guitar and bass and a variety of other things and that. And then in high school, I would play trombone, upright bass, and yeah, that was pretty much it.
But no big deal.
We went to a big jazz school, so I really took jazz to heart, and we had a really, really awesome band. We got to go to like Seattle and Chicago and all sorts of stuff on trips. And so honestly, I just feel like I wasn't like most of the other people there because I was so enraptured in music. Like, honestly.
You were consumed.
It's been my whole life.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. And as a musician, can I ask, where did this kind of start? Like, I don't know if your family's big musical people or you just, you know, picked up a guitar and like, yeah, I can play. This is awesome.
Honestly, I don't really know how exactly it happened. No one else in my family is a musician. No one. They're all tone deaf. Like, they can't sing. They can't play instruments. I mean, my mom could play the piano a little bit. My brother can play the guitar a little bit. But honestly, I really have no idea how it happened. I started taking piano lessons when I was like 4 years old, and I hated it. And so I quit. And my mom said that I had to pick up something else. So I started with the trombone in 4th grade, and then I kind of liked that. I got ahead in band.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I started playing with the 8th graders when I was in 6th grade, and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty cool. But I think it was just because there wasn't enough trombone players. Oh, well. And so, I don't know, I just kind of kept going, and eventually I started playing guitar and bass, and I think that something clicked in my head. I'm like, man, I want to be a rock star when I grow up. You know, like, that's the dream, man.
Definitely.
If you're a musician, that's kind of the dream.
It is. It is the dream.
To just, you know, go travel around playing music and having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, I kind of maybe got that idea in my head, and then it just took off from there. I started playing in, well, 5 bands in high school, and in college I just continued to be involved in music in any way I could. So.
Okay, cool. And I know we kind of talked about this a little bit, how you moved up here to Minnesota, but why? Why why did you come to this frozen tundra?
I get this question all the time. Okay, so here's the deal. I am an extraordinarily warm person.
Yes.
Several of my friends call me a human furnace.
Okay.
And living in Arizona sucked.
To be very blunt, it did suck.
In the summers, it was 110 degrees out. There was paint peeling off of cars because it was so hot.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, not all the time, just, you know, every once in a while.
Yeah.
Usually the black cars. But it was very warm. And honestly, I kind of just wanted 4 seasons. And
mm-hmm.
I also followed my brothers up here. So they both went to college here at Northwestern.
Okay, awesome. And I know it's a little bit... it's a little bit of a hard transition, I bet, going from that hot area to that cold area. Was that... just astounds me for some reason.
Honestly,
I'm just like, why? Why did you do that? I mean, I know you kind of like winter, right? You enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, I actually really enjoy it, except for those days that are just frigid and windy.
Yes.
I don't know. Other than that, I like it.
Okay. All right.
Well,
and, Chris, you are a recent grad from Northwestern University.
I am.
And how has life been for you, considering you're a local musician, you're a local producer, kind of a director as well? How has life been like for you, and have you kind of explored that local side of Minnesota a little bit, or have you kind of dived into that? I know you're on the worship team.
Yeah, I lead worship at a church. I have a job at a software company, which isn't exactly, you know, what I'd love to be doing. But
paying off some debt.
Yeah, it sure is. And it'll eventually fuel my future studio, so I'm excited about that. But one thing that I do have is I do have a company called Chris J. Bell Media. I have a website and a variety of other things for my production business, in which I produce albums, songs, commercials, etc., which is really fun. I might be getting involved in doing sound for a film coming up in the next month or two, and then I have another sound for film scheduled later this year as well.
Very cool, very cool. And this is kind of an interesting question I wanted to ask you. I've always wanted to ask you. Just kidding.
Wow. I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Since this show is devoted to local artists such as yourself, and you are an artist in your own right, can you tell me what you see in the future for maybe local music or music in general or that sort of thing? And it's kind of an interesting question because, I mean, music just in this past year has evolved so much.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's, for me, it's been like the greatest season ever in music.
Definitely.
Because,
yeah.
It was the revival of folk.
It really
was. You know what I mean? Like,
the past couple of years, been the revival.
Folk has exploded, and that is my wheelhouse. Like, that's the music that I love.
Yes.
And it's just got such a heart behind it.
So, what do you see in the future? Do you see any of that progressing? Do you, I mean, you kind of, right now, in music, what I'm noticing at least, is pop and folk seem to be merging together
a little bit, which is a little unfortunate. But yeah, no, that's happening. I kind of feel like music just comes in waves, and it'll change how it changes. But I don't know, I would just encourage artists to stay true to what their style is, because if they play what they like to play, then they'll be good at it. So
definitely. What do you see anything in this year that interests you so far? Is there anything that's really sparking something in you right now?
I just bought the new Five Iron album. So
yes, definitely. that's a huge one for sure.
I mean, that's kind of nerdy one. For those people out there that don't know who Five Iron Frenzy is,
shame on you.
Shame on you, first of all. But second of all, I totally understand that you don't know who they are. Because they broke up, what, like 10 years ago?
I want to say it was 2006.
I don't know. They broke up a long time ago. I don't know, maybe 8-9 albums come out before that. But they were a ska band that...
Can you kind of explain what ska is?
They just had a cult following.
Yeah.
Ska is basically a rock band with horns, and it's all about the upbeats for those music people out there.
It really
is. All of the guitar parts are on upbeats for the most part.
And I've listened to the album. It's a fantastic album.
Spectacular.
And it's really interesting because if you do know who Five Iron is, Reese Roper, the lead singer, he is getting older. And
yeah.
I would say his vocals are a little bit more strained.
Yeah, a little bit.
But
No. I mean, overall, the album is really good,
yeah.
And particularly for the content of the album. Reese Roper is a fantastic writer.
He is. Ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous.
He's absurd. Like, half of their songs are funny songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I don't know, they're poetic in their own right, but
yeah.
They're poetic for the sake of being funny.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's got other ones that will make you be chewing on something that he's talking about all day long.
Definitely. And that's the beauty of that band is he could be singing about battle dancing unicorns one song. But,
that,
I mean, he'll also have a hidden meaning behind
with
it as
glare.
Well. But then you go to the next song, and it's about growing up and, you know, moving away and really transitioning to a new place.
Mm-hmm.
And it really hits home to a lot of people, and I think that's pretty beautiful.
Yeah, he's got some absolutely beautiful lyrics that I kind of think that a lot of Five Iron Frenzy songs have sort of shaped how my brain works in some ways, which is a little scary to think about. But honestly, it's probably one of the most influential bands in my life.
Yeah. Are there any other artists that are really influential? You mentioned folk, and Is there any folk bands, folk artists that really just, wow, they're amazing, and I can't stop listening to these guys? I know you're kind of a big Mumford and Sons fan.
I am. I'll admit it. I'm a huge Mumford fan, and it's because they have heart behind their music, and I love their style. I would also say that I have really, really been enjoying Wren Collective recently, which is a folk band worship sort of deal. They're really, really good. They're kind of like the Christian Mumford and Sons. Who else?
Did you mention the Oh Hellos at all? Or
I do like the Oh Hellos. The other one that I've been listening to a ton recently is the Punch Brothers.
I haven't really heard of them that much.
Okay, do you know who Chris Thiele is?
He's the guy from
He's the greatest mandolin player in the world.
Nickel Creek, right?
Yes, he's from Nickel Creek.
Okay.
He's easily the best mandolin player in the entire world, and he has a new band called the Punch Brothers. They have, like, three albums out now, and they are the bomb.
Well, if you haven't checked out Nickel Creek in general, I think you should definitely check those guys out as well. Well, anyways, we're gonna move along to the last question of this part one interview. Just this last one is, as a producer, and we kind of mentioned this before with folk music, but is there a particular music genre? You can say many different genres, but that really just sparks something creativity-wise, like something, oh, that's it, that's the sound, that's what I want to hear. Is there something like that that just really engages in you and you think other people need to hear this as well?
Yeah, honestly, I don't think genre is that important. I think that genre is only important for the sake of whatever message is behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, honestly, I like all genres of music to some extent. I kind of don't like country. I kind of don't like rap. But
yeah,
in general, I have an appreciation for every type of music. I think that the really important thing is to figure out what the heart of your genre is. And, if you're, let's say, writing love stories, well, guess what? A ballad is probably the genre for you. You know what I mean?
Yes, definitely.
Like, the message should define the genre. The genre shouldn't define itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes
Which
sense.
Which I think a lot of artists kind of do nowadays, and I think it's kind of needs to change a little bit.
Yeah, this is a topic I could talk all day about. So let me know if I'm saying way too much. But,
no, keep going.
Something that I find just extremely important in music is to figure out what the heart of the music that you're playing is and have it match up with the words and the message that you're saying with your lyrics or things like that. Like, I'll give you an example. Folk music, and the reason why I like it so much is because it came from, like, a Celtic background where these people had really, really hard lives. Like, they were suffering every single day. And folk music sort of originated as a way of singing in the hope for the future. It was almost as if they, like, if they could sing loud enough, they could bring the future into the present where they were. And I think that that's why I love it so much, is because that's kind of where my heart is at. And that's also why I think it's a wonderful genre for Christian music, is because we're trying to sing in the hope of a future that we have in eternity here in this life. And the message behind folk music matches up with the root, the soul of the genre itself. So that's just one example. Like, I don't know, you could also go the complete other direction, you know.
Yeah.
If you have screamo music, you better be angry about something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can't be singing about daisies in a screamo song. Although I wouldn't put it past Reese Roper.
Yes.
I mean, the heart and soul of your message needs to be the heart and soul of your music. So if you're going to be, I don't know, if you want to sing about Jesus, then pick something that would honor Jesus, you know, that sort of thing.
That's a fantastic description of just genre and music in general. I want to hear more of this, but we're going to go to some music, and we'll come back with Chris Bell in a little bit. Coming up next, we have Matt Carney. You're listening to The Neighborhood.